now it's time for another special feature.
Is that your final answer?
Who disrupts my coronation?
Everyone has been destroyed because of this freak. I won't allow it!
These babies just saved this lame fest party!
Twig, the flagship of stupidity. I am one of your many stupid hosts. I am Mike the Birdman. Joining me immediately to my right is...
another stupid host, Mr. Tristopher.
Who most often sails the Sea of Thieves. If you haven't checked out his YouTube channel, you should check it out at...
it doesn't actually have a custom URL, but you can find me by the same name that I go by here, Mr. Tristopher. Also follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all those fun things.
Exactly. It's almost like we're doing the extra of the show off the top, but hey... that's how we do things here. So, yes, a couple of housekeeping announcements. Last week, I'm pretty sure, was the Death Ice Storm.
Yes. We are just finishing the thaw process from the ice storm that we had last week. And the last bits of ice and snow are gone.
It's weird. Like, literally last week, it was, like, minus, like, 10. Ice storm was death and accreting ice everywhere. Now it's, like... plus 15 and sunny and gorgeous.
Exactly. Last week, there was nobody on the road whatsoever. There was ice everywhere. Everyone was stuck in their own homes. Now, the motorcycles are out in full force.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of getting outside, speaking of housekeeping announcements, yesterday, I managed to get outside in my wheelchair for the first time. My cat is hiding under a blanket.
There's one of those motorcycles now.
Oh, boy. Bastards. I actually got outside in my wheelchair in the parking lot for the first time since I got out of the hospital a couple of months ago. So it was really nice to see the sky. I know it still exists and I don't live inside the friggin' Matrix.
It actually didn't fall in the last little while. The sky did not fall.
I was rather surprised, and it's not like in Fortnite where there's giant meteors in the sky. However, according to prophecy, we're supposed to die tomorrow.
Excellent.
Yeah, planet Nibiru is supposed to crash.
Awesome.
Just so you know.
Awesome. I will wait with bated breath.
You very well should. Or otherwise, we're going to be getting the rapture. So one or the other.
So we're all going to ascend into heaven and then get smashed by Nibiru on the way up.
It's going to look really cool from in heaven.
Awesome.
Actually, it kind of would.
Awesome. Man, maybe Nibiru is heaven. Maybe the other planet is heaven, and it's coming to us to take us up to Nibiru.
Oh my god, is that mind-blowing GIF thing? I just thought about that. Man, someone should make a game where you literally... well, I guess they kind of did, where the planet's going to smash into Earth. They made that game. It was called Majora's Mask. Now I'm getting some cool ideas for video games. Anyway, but no, being outside was tremendously cool. I was greatly happy to get out there. I did get my demo power chair, which is the government's going to give me a power chair because they're like, kid, you're strong, but you're not going to be able to propel yourself for any significant distance because you're a chunky bastard. But they did give me a loaner, but I can't use it until next week. So literally... I have freedom staring me in the face, which freedom happens to look like a small tank, which is kind of ridiculous. However, friend of the show, Derek the Bard and Terrible Warrior, has volunteered. I don't know whether he's giving me or loaning me. He has this Vulcan Nerf gun, which holds like 100 Nerf darts. He's like, I'm going to turn you into an actual tank. So I'm looking forward to rolling around Com Bravo just nuking people with darts.
Weaponize the chair.
It's going to be so awesome. I fully looking, if that's the chair I get, it's rear wheel drive. I'm going to put stickers on it. I've got LED lights I'm kind of planning out. I have a Bluetooth speaker I can mount right where that Q thing is.
Oh, man.
It's going to be pimping. People are going to know I'm coming. They're going to be like, man, there's that fat fuck.
You got to get some, like, Iron Man shit where it moves and, like,
folds
sets
around
up.
Me.
Exactly.
Like a blade of armor or some shit like that. Oh, my. Fucking Tony Stark, get on this shit.
Heads-up displays and shit. Augmented reality screens.
Oh, my God. If I could do that on my wheelchair, I totally would. However, things that are coming up on the show this week that don't necessarily involve the Avengers Infinity War, which, Friday, I'm getting out of this house. I don't care. I don't care that it's the most sold-out movie in history right now.
It's happening.
I will find a way. I'm like, look, I don't need a chair. I brought my own. Coming up on the show this week, we have Alex taking a look at two PC games. One of them will also be available on the Xbox One. Alex will be looking at Orwell, Ignorance is Strength. You'll be hearing that next. But we also have our typical news segments where we'll be talking about a cancellation of a fan favorite series. A video game movie is getting a fairly prominent director. And what do you got?
Well, I want to bring my last little bit of GenreCon content back from, I believe it was February. It's been so long now that I actually can't remember when GenreCon 2018 was, but I spoke with a very interesting person, and he revealed this new card collectible card game, kind of like Magic, but it's his own unique spin on it, and it's a very long overdue interview with this fellow. It looks like an amazing game, so we'll check that out a little bit later.
We also have stuff coming up in our weird news segment. This week I'll be talking about a Nazi submarine, which has just been discovered. And what do you got?
Well, in weird news, I can't remember exactly what I was going to say just now.
I think it's about a suicide booth.
It was, yes, Futurama. You know, the Futurama suicide booth, the concept has actually been taken into a reality of sorts, a suicide pod more so.
Oh my God.
It's a little controversial, of course, a little bit weird, but that's why I want to talk about it.
That's right. And as always, we have stuff coming up on Satan's Pantry this week involving something actually weirdly disgusting, but we'll talk about that. And finally, we have one last game coming up from Alex known as the Darwin Project, which you can find on PC and Xbox One. So we'll be back right here on Twig, the flagship of stupidity. We'll be back, guys, right after this review from Alex.
Welcome aboard. An agent of ours has gone missing and we need your help. I will be your advisor on this highly classified case. The nation is in crisis. This man and his preposterous news site have been inciting protests in our neighbor country of Parjas. In addition, we appear to be facing a series of bomb threats. Your job is to surveil the suspect and other people of interest using the nation's top secret security program, Orwell. You are capable of monitoring personal emails, computers, smartphones, chat transcripts, social media accounts, and phone calls of suspects. You have been granted access to an unrestricted build of Orwell. It has more expansive surveillance capabilities, including the ability to take the truths you uncover and reuse them. Think carefully. What you do with the information you gather and release will have consequences. You will be put into situations that may have you personally conflicted over who to trust and what to do. Do whatever needs to be done to protect the government and the entire nation. I'm counting on you.
Hey, Alex here, and I've got Orwell Ignorance is Strength, brought to you by Surprise Attack Games on the PC platform Steam. It's a, I guess, sort of a simulation game mixed with an adventure title in that you are a player as somebody who is recruited to work for the government in a secret organization that is investigating websites and people building profiles, and you are tasked with sort of finding dissidents against the government. And I don't want to go into too much details of the story because this whole game is about the story. It's just a very interesting thing. You're filtering through a bunch of files on people and documents and websites, and you're slowly piecing together events that are happening and determining what's real, what's not, in a fictional country called The Nation. So you're part of the surveillance program from the organization Orwell, and you're digging into the private lives and public lives of suspects in a series of terrorist attacks. The core question being asked in the game is, are you afraid? What would you do if you were Big Brother, essentially? And it's definitely something really interesting to play. I can't really go into more detail simply because it is entirely story-based. As far as features go of the game, you're investigating agitators. You enter an organization, like I said earlier, known as The Office, working for Orwell. And you uncover the truth as far as separating stories from facts, from propagated myths, fake news, to what's really happened, identify hidden agendas with people involved in these cases. You can manipulate the information, so you can take your own version of the truth and release that to the public and gain influence over the situation. You expose truth, destroy the lives, and influence those who seek to bring harm to the government and diplomatic nations with neighboring countries. It's very, very interesting and different. It's been released over 3 episodes, all 3 of which are available now, and if you buy one, you get all 3. And it's priced at about $10 American or so. You'll have to check it out on Steam as far as the Canadian prices go. It's very, very interesting. I keep sort of stumbling over myself because it's not something I can really go into, except I say definitely play it. Give it a watch. Watch the trailer for it. See if it's your cup of tea. And dive right in.
News on the mark!
Thank you, Alex. That game can be found on PC and Xbox One, I believe.
I'm pretty sure that was just a PC game.
Just a PC?
I love the idea behind it. Just the fact that literally you have access to all Big Brother's tools and you're tracking down bad guys.
It really brings the paranoia that you might have to life in a way.
It reminds me of something that happened back in the 90s, if you can believe that, or very early 2000s. And it was this augmented reality game. And I can't remember what it was called, but basically you would track down, you'd get these phone logs. You could download these phone logs from a website. And if you happen to live in New York, Los Angeles, wherever, you could go to like on this phone booth or something written on the side, and you could track down these terrorist bad guys. And then 9/11 happened.
Of course.
And this game completely got destroyed, but it was such a cool idea.
Landscape changed forever. It feels like it takes a few of the smaller elements of Watch Dogs as well, just the concepts behind that, being able to tap into everything that's around, but a little bit more of a from top down, a little bit less get in the mix of everything.
Like, I very much love that whole anti-government conspiratorial angle. I mean, not that I'm anti-government, that's a topic for a different day.
It's fun to talk about the conspiracy theory stuff. It's fun to entertain that idea.
Exactly, because you don't know who holds the true reins of power, especially in this post 9/11 Illuminati, I don't know, sure there's gluten in the cereal or something. Anyway, so we are here talking about the news that is, was, and will be in the world of Geek, Dork, and Doofus. And we're going to start things off on a sad note. No, we're not talking about the death of Vern Troyer, because we are not turning into the obituary show, because a lot of people have died recently.
Yeah, there's been a lot of unfortunate deaths, but we pay our respects and we move on. We don't want to dwell too much on the sad news. There's enough places where we can all go to pay our respects to the dearly departed.
Exactly. And if you want to do that, watch the Austin Powers movies this weekend or into the week. Honor Vern Troyer's memory by watching him sing and dance with Mike Myers. However, though, speaking of sad news, this one kind of struck me as a bit of a surprise. Starz, which is a on-demand cable service, the network has stuff like Black Flag, American Gods, Power, Counterpart. They have canceled fan favorite and cult hit Ash vs. Evil Dead. The series finale will air on April 29th. And if you don't know what Ash vs. Evil Dead is, well, literally, it's right in the title. You take Bruce Campbell from the Evil Dead movie series, Evil Dead 1, Evil Dead 2, Army of Darkness,
my personal favorite.
I was always an Evil Dead 2 guy, and mostly because of the Laughing Moose, which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in cinema ever. Plus Evil Dead the Musical.
It's just such a unique series.
Yeah, it's weird horror comedy done right.
It has enough creepiness where it's still a horror, but it's lighthearted in other places enough where you could really enjoy it in different ways.
Unlike the remake is horror pure
pure terror to the point where when I saw it in theaters, there were quite a few people that couldn't even look at the screen in places.
You know what? I hated it the first time I saw it, but now it's become a personal favorite of mine after I've watched it a few more times, especially the opening 5 minutes where it's like, your daughter burns in hell with us. Don't kill me, Daddy. And it gets creepy. But anyway, so Ash vs. Evil Dead has gotten canceled after 3 seasons. Now, if you've been following some of the tweets on Twitter, Ash Williams himself, Bruce Campbell, has said it's been the ride of a lifetime. I'm thankful the producers have given me a chance to revisit this role. And I'm pretty sure, I remember reading this at some point earlier in the year. He said, if Ash vs. Evil Dead gets canceled, he's done with the role. The Evil Dead franchise is finally going to bed. And I hope they wrap up enough of this. From what I understand, they're still fighting Lucy Lawless as the bad guy. God, that's so weird to say out loud. As the series, basically big bad, they'll wrap up all the loose storylines. I don't know what would have been proposed for season 4 had the series got going, but just the fact that it even made it to TV is a big deal.
Yeah, I think there was an original plan for it to be a 2-season show off the start. They were expecting it to last that long, and it got made into 3 seasons, so they did better than expected. At the same time, they're turning the season finale into just a show finale, so I have to wonder if it's going to end up on a cliffhanger, or are we going to get a bit of a Firefly vibe off of the finale?
I kind of hope if they do leave it cliffhangery, maybe they could, if they wanted to do a TV movie or do like a Netflix original.
Or at the very minimum, take the Buffy route and do comics.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. Because there's Evil Dead comics everywhere.
Yeah, it's a very comicable series. There's a lot of material there to make any sort of graphic novel or other comic.
Yeah, and you're not constrained by budget. It's constrained by the artist and the imagination thereof. So, Ash versus Evil Dead, I'm sad to see you go, but I'm glad that you were here for 3 wonderful years. What do you got, Tristan?
I want to say happier, but it's more of just something food for thought. The Black Ops 4 is on the way, and there's a lot of rumors swirling around this title. Call of Duty's been around for a long time. It's basically a serial game. Just like your sports title. It's a shooter sports title, if you ask me. It's every year there's a new edition. And Black Ops 4 seems to be
filled with motorcycles.
You heard it here first, folks. Black Ops 4 is foregoing the single-player campaign that Call of Duty has been known to include, not really known for, but instead is going to include a Battle Royale mode that I don't know if... Wow.
I bet you that guy is a huge dick.
So, in Battle Royale mode in Black Ops 4, I don't know if anyone asked for it. I don't know if it'll be good.
Well, it seems to be the big thing right now, because you look at developers like Epic Games and PlayerUnknown for PUBG and Fortnite, stuff like that. Basically, this is the... We were talking about this off air, how like apocalyptic and zombies were so many years ago. Now it's Battle Royale mode. And I know people who were confirming this from Charlie Intel and other Call of Duty websites were basically saying the campaign, I think it wasn't Treyarch, or maybe it was Treyarch developing this, and Raven Software, pretty sure, is developing the actual Battle Royale mode or multiplayer for this game. Had said they'd run out of time to do the multiplayer. And the single player. And the single player campaign was going to be weirdly cyberpunk. Now, this one is very unsubstantiated rumor, where it was going to happen on Earth several hundred years in the future, where basically this coronal mass ejection had happened and send us back in the city states and tribes. Think of Mad Max, basically. But parts of the game would be played via flashback, so you could flashback to other parts of the Black Ops storyline.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are they going to work that in? Because Black Ops, while a little bit disjointed, kind of focuses on telling a
a real narrative.
A joined story where they're all related to each other.
Yeah, I mean, and especially with Black Ops, because Black Ops 1 and 2 told a story. Black Ops 3, kind of, not so much.
Yeah, it tapped into 1 and 2, but didn't really focus on them, didn't put them front and center. It wasn't a real continuation so much as a spiritual successor.
Yeah. And with this one, I'm really disappointed because I know there's been diminishing returns on those people that play Call of Duty for the single-player experience. Notably, I loved Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. That storyline was friggin' fantastic. And say what you will about Kevin Spacey, he was a great bad guy. Kind of shitty he had to turn into a creep, but it is what it is.
I actually forgot about that.
Yep, that's Hollywood for you. Oh, man. Full of scumbags. And then you also had Call of Duty Infinite Warfare, which was basically Battlestar Galactica, more or less. Which, someone really needs to take the COD engine and put a Battlestar Galactica skin over it. But I guess Infinite Warfare is the closest thing you're going to get.
I think the COD engine just needs an upgrade.
It really does.
I mean, if it's not broken, don't fix it. But it's been the same engine for a long time. And considering you're able to put out a new game every year, I think the resources are there. Build a new engine.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. There's a couple of different YouTubers I watch. There's a guy named Drifter I watch. I watch a guy named T. Martin. T. Martin's more a hype man. Drifter's more a technical guy. But they talk about the COD engine and how, yeah, it's basically the same year to year, and they optimize it. They figure out what more it can do, how much more they can pull out of it. And yeah, it does need a tweak real bad.
Yeah, and as much as they've optimized it and they've pushed it as far as it can go, there is a limitation. It's an engine that's been built a long time ago, and it'll have an upper limit, and I think we're pretty much there. You can come up with new ideas around it, but if the base technology is that old, there's going to be a point where you can't iterate on it any further and not improve.
Well, I'm wondering how a Battle Royale mode would work in COD. Now, essentially, in China, there's Call of Duty Online, which is more or less like a Battle Royale mode. So the idea does work. One of the other things, I think from Charlie Intel, or at least Drifter, I remember his video on this, we're talking about, they were talking about doing it more towards Black Ops 3 Infinite Warfare with the operator / specialist system, where they were going to turn Call of Duty into a hero-based shooter. I don't know how I feel about that, especially when you consider Overwatch is the king of that.
Yeah, Overwatch.
I mean, they tried with Paladins and Lawbreakers.
Exactly.
But who cares?
Well, once again, it feels like Call of Duty is just trying to look at what's successful and try to emulate it. I don't want to say copy, because it's not copy. Let's be fair. But they're finding the things that are popular, the things that have worked in Overwatch and in Fortnite, and how could we make a version of that? They should be, they're a driving force in the first-person shooter community. They should use the opportunity to innovate, come up with their own catch, their own hook. I think that would make Call of Duty come to the forefront again.
Well, there was even talk and speculation that Call of Duty could be moving towards a subscription-like game where you get the base game for next to nothing and you pay for cosmetic upgrades.
That wouldn't be the end of the world. That's kind of the standard for microtransactions.
Yeah, and I'm okay with that, because in Fortnite, for example, it's real easy to spend a crap ton of money, but it doesn't affect any in-game stats. You could have a sword on a swordfish on a stick as your hammer, and you can look like a spaceman or Elvis. Yet in Call of Duty, for example, this was bad during the Advanced Warfare days, during loot boxes. You could get different cosmetic items, which were great, but you could also get weapons that affected stats. So it became pay to win. I have most of the game affecting stuff, like the Obsidian Steed and stuff like that. So I don't know how I feel about this. I'm really sad to lose the single player campaign. But that being said, I haven't played Infinite Warfare yet. I have it on my Xbox. And I have Call of Duty World War II, and I haven't put much time into it because I was in the hospital. Maybe I should do that before the season runs out on it. But to lose a Black Ops storyline is a big deal.
And
I really think so.
Call of Duty is one of the series that's known for downloadable content. Maybe they'll put some sort of story mode out there in the future.
Well, they're supposed to really be focusing on zombies. And zombies has always had its own narrative.
Yeah, zombies has been its own thing off to the side. Like, it uses the same resources, just tells its own story. So, maybe improving on the zombies experience and making it even greater than it already is would be a more wise use of their resources and time.
I'll be very curious to see who they get for the celebrity voice actors. I think my favorite was still Exo-Zombies, where they had Bill Paxton, John Malkovich. I'm trying to remember who the hell else was in it. I know Sarah Michelle Gellar was in Black Ops 2, and you had to fight George A. Romero, the zombie guy on a map. It was ridiculous. But anyway, enough about Call of Duty. I could literally talk about this all day. I'm trying to think. We also have one more story. Now, this is coming to us from Lee, who has moved into the realm of guest contributor right now. He's got some stuff going on right now, and he won't necessarily be able to join us every Sunday. But Deadpool director David Leitch is set to direct a film adaptation on Ubisoft's The Division, with actors Jake Gyllenhaal and Jessica Chastain, who are currently attached to star. Now, The Division was announced last year. It was supposed to move into pre-production, whatever. And the guy who directed the movie Gold, Stephen Gaghan, was attached to the project. However, Gaghan has left the project, and Leitch has stepped in to the director seat, according to Variety. So if you don't know, The Division is basically set up as New York has been overrun from the rest of the world. It's been closed off due to martial law and whatnot. There's like a virus going around. And you are a military black ops team set to run operations in there. It's a huge MMO-like world that was considered very ambitious when it was shown off at E3 a few years ago. The Division 2 was recently announced, which is supposed to be a sequel to the original game. I've never played it.
I actually played it quite a bit when it first came out. It followed the trend that I've noticed lately of a lot of games building up a lot of hype at events like E3 and then delivering a product that doesn't quite meet it. And some games, it becomes more obvious that it's not meeting the hype, like No Man's Sky, for example.
Yeah.
But Division was only disappointing when you reached maximum level.
Because there wasn't anywhere to go.
Pretty much. Once you reach max level, it changed. As you were leveling up, it was almost the best shooter game I've ever played in my life. It was a combination of shooter and MMO. There was stats, there was different pieces of gear you could obtain.
So it wasn't like Destiny.
No, not quite like it was. It had some elements of Destiny, but the idea was it was very realistic.
Mm-hmm.
This would give you a bit more health, this would give you a bit more damage, and this would allow your tech abilities, your special things that you have, to change the battlefield or improve certain areas of what you're doing, heal allies, that sort of thing. It would improve the efficiency of those. And it was great while you're leveling up. Once you reach max level, it was the ability to choose what you were doing was completely removed.
Mm-hmm.
There was the only one build that would actually be successful. Enemies turned into bullet sponges, and it took a lot of the elements that made the game, the shooter aspect and the realistic aspect, it took on too much MMO and not enough shooter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was trying to do both, but it wasn't doing either one well enough.
Yeah,
they've changed a lot since then. They've improved a lot. They've added set bonuses. They've made the game a lot more fun to play. And I'm hoping that Division 2 is going to be able to capitalize on that and deliver experience from start to finish that's a polished product and almost perfect. And I can see them doing that because I know what they're doing. They know how to improve a game after it starts off weak. But the actual plot of the story, having this virus that wipes out 90% of the population and you're just the lucky few that survive,
mm-hmm.
and then this special unit comes in called the Division and tries to bring order back into this chaos that's left behind, it's very watchable. I could definitely see a movie succeeding in that plot.
See, it sounds more like a movie than a video game to me.
Yeah, there's enough of a narrative there where you could just follow along. You don't necessarily have to play it, but being able to step into the shoes of an agent of the Division and take part, it's pretty fun. And there's a lot of twists and turns you might not expect right off the bat. It's a very well-told story. I just wish the end game was good off the beginning. Otherwise, if it was, I'd probably still be playing it now.
Yeah, like I've got a few friends that actually still play. I think Justin from Terrible Warrior still plays it on his PC with his brother, I think. I got a copy of The Division free when I got my my keyboard from, who was it? Logitech. I have a keyboard that lights up, and I got a free copy of The Division. I just never played it.
It's worth a look. Even now, it would be worth hopping into if you got some free time.
I think I've got it on my Xbox, but I'm not 100%. I've either got an Xbox or on PlayStation 4. I'm not 100% sure. I'll have to look into it. But speaking of games, we're actually going to throw things over to Tristan once again. And we once again went to GenreCon at the end of February. And we're going to talk about Genesis Battle of Champions.
It's a very unique game. Very, very special card game that kind of sets itself apart from things like Magic.
I think it's going to be something we're going to have to check out here on the show. So stay tuned to hear on Twig as we check out Genesis Battle of Champions.
And now it's time for another special feature.
If you're a fan of trading card games, you know how most of them work. You build up your resources, whether they're lands, energy, or something else, then spend that resource each turn to create, build, or summon your forces to fight against your enemy. It's a tried and true formula for card games, but there's always room for experimentation. That's where Genesis Battle of Champions comes in. Genesis takes the concept of you as the player being a powerful being and applies it directly to the game, allowing you to enter the battlefield alongside your forces to attack your foes, combining the elements of collectible card games and tactical games like chess. I spoke with Asad Qureshi, one of the developers for Genesis Battle of Champions, at GenreCon 2018. He explained the game to me and told me some of his ideas and inspirations for creating the game.
So Genesis Battle of Champions is a tactical collectible card game. So we wanted to make a game that took players out from behind their hand and put them straight into the game. So instead of being a powerful wizard standing behind watching your creatures fight, you can actually be part of the combat. You can be a fighter, you can be a wizard, however you want to play.
Is it similar to other trading card games that are out there?
I would say it's a kind of a mix between, if you were to think, Magic meets chess. It has all the elements I love about a collectible card game, like deck building, collecting, trading, all that kind of cool stuff, along with the really amazing art. But then you have this spatial tactical aspect about it, which really brings the game to a whole new level. Because you could be standing on a really crummy hand, but at the same time still be able to have a great impact on the game depending on how you play with what you have on the field.
How long has the game been in production? How long has it been out?
So me and my best friend Lionel, we've been working on this for about 15 years with multiple iterations. It was always an attempt of trying to learn something new. So the first draft was just learning how to make a game. Second draft was how to apply things we were learning in school in a game. Third draft was, what is it like to take it to market? And that's where we're at now. So this version of the game we've been working on for 2 years. This is our attempt to try to make a game that is market ready. We brought it to market 2 months ago at SkyCon. And since then, we've been selling pretty well. We have regular tournaments hosted in Cambridge. And we're just building our player base now.
Awesome. So did you have a specific inspiration? Was there a source that made you want to build your own card game as opposed to just playing the ones that are out there?
Yeah, so two answers to that. The reason why we wanted to make our own card game is we were high school students on a budget, and making our own game is the cheapest way. And the inspiration kind of came from the idea of old pit fights. So if you think of gladiators, I wanted to make a game where you didn't just have to cast spells or bring out creatures to fight. You could just take the sword yourself and fight your opponent. I always hate it when you're playing a game and your opponent drops this really, really small creature, but since you have no answers in your hand, it just beats you down. Yeah. And you're like, why can't I just kick this thing in the face?
The old weenie deck strategy.
Yeah. So I was like, if you're an all-powerful character, why don't you just wield a sword? Why don't you just throw a fireball yourself? So I wanted to make you a player in the game.
That's awesome. So for anyone who's interested in getting started, how do they get started in playing this game?
Yeah, so we have our website, genesisbattleofchampions.com. You can join our Facebook group at Facebook Genesis BOC. That's more or less it. I mean, Forbes Hobby Shop in Cambridge is also carrying copies of the game, and that's where our community meets regularly.
Awesome. Was there anything else you wanted to tell me about the game or yourself?
So my name's Asad Qureshi. I've been the lead developer on this game. I just wanted to give a little bit of story of the company. And so I incorporated the company Haunted Castle Gaming to publish this game. It's named after GCI, Galt Collegiate Institute, because that high school is known for two things, one being haunted and the other looking like a castle. So we're thinking to pay tribute to the school where we all met as friends and started working on this game, we'll name our company after it. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
As with any card game, there's a lot to learn to dive into the game, so visit their website at genesisbattleofchampions.com and take a look around at the game, the rules, and the beautiful artwork. I was given a few sample cards, and the artwork is astounding. Give it a look. A big thank you to Asad. He's a super nice guy and a pleasure to talk to. He visits Comic-Cons all around Southern Ontario, so look out for his booth at your local con. I can see Genesis Battle of Champions breaking into the card game scene, and I hope to see it in hobby stores everywhere soon. I'm Mr. Christopher for ThisWeekInGeek.net.
What makes you qualified to be a reporter?
I'm willing to violate anyone's privacy for my personal gain and then claim with a straight face that the public has a right to know.
By the hand of Zeus, what manner of deviltry is this?
I love fake alien poop day.
Thank you very much, Tristan, for that interview with the gentleman behind Genesis Battle of Champions. Hopefully you guys got a chance to check that out. I know I'm actually going to have Tristan ask the guy for a review copy of this game, so no pressure. I'm just putting that on
right now. See if I can get some more of the, I don't want to say demo decks, but intro decks, and see if we can learn the game and try spreading it around the area.
Exactly, get people interested and involved. But speaking of interested and involved, it's that time, folks. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for Twigs.
I told you the
motorcycle cavalcade.
I told you the motorcycles are out today.
Jeez, people, we get it. Your dick is huge. Now, they're overcompensating, but I'm not saying everybody who owns a motorcycle is overcompensating.
Just the ones without mufflers.
Exactly. Jesus, guys, come on. But then again, hey, you're the guy that pissed off the Schwinn Club of Winnipeg last week.
That's true.
They're going to murder you.
The Hells Angels of Winnipeg are probably not listening to this program, but if they are, I'm dead.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't it be funny if they yelped us to death?
1 star, their service is terrible, called me a bicycle.
Terrible podcast. Bleh. Anyway, so this week in the weird news that happened around the world this week, we're going to talk about something that I found. This immediately grabbed my attention, this headline. This comes to us from Gizmodo. World War II sub rumored to have taken top Nazis to South America has been found off the Danish coast. So I'm going to read part of the article and then we'll talk. In the dying days of World War II, a German sub was reportedly sunk near the Danish coast, but the wreck was actually never found, leading to speculation that high-ranking Nazi officials, even possibly Adolf Hitler himself, used the high-tech vessel to escape to South America. A museum in Denmark has finally found the missing U-boat, ending the 73-year-old mystery. The German submarine was discovered under 403 feet of water, or about 123 meters, earlier this month by an expedition from the Sea War Museum, Jutland. Radar scans of the seafloor taken from the survey ship Vinya show the U-boat U-3523, an advanced Type 21 submarine, resting in an extraordinary position with its tail end sticking out from a hole at practically a 45-degree angle. Now, this is the ninth German sub this war museum has found along the Danish coast, in addition to three British subs. So, in total, this museum has found 450 wrecks in the North Sea in the SARS... I can't even pronounce this. basically, there is this strait between Norway, Sweden, and the Jutland Peninsula of Denmark. So, according to the British Navy, a B-24 Liberator had sunk U-3523 on May 6, 1945, using depth charges. And given the timing of the incident, this U-boat was likely not on patrol, but on the run. The sinking happened a day after the Nazi forces surrendered in Denmark, and just 2 days before the war officially ended. So, according to this, 53 German sailors were killed in the incident, assuming it was the standard contingent on board. I think this is actually pretty cool. This could have been the sub that held Adolf Hitler, but we're pretty sure he died in the bunker in, where was it, Berlin?
Yeah, it would be just in the capital of Berlin. It's a long-standing rumor and theory that a lot of the Nazi party escaped and went to South America and took all these submarines and went everywhere. So it's interesting to see a certain degree of truth potentially added to this. And actually finding some of these submarines, and I have to wonder, like, are they going to be going in and finding what's in there? Are they going to be inspecting the wreckage and seeing what's there? Are they going to be bringing stuff back up?
Yeah, I mean, it'd be kind of cool. I mean, I don't know whether this war museum has the resources to actually mount that big of an expedition, but if it did, I'd be very curious to see what relics are still left on board. I mean, but then again, when you break it down, I'm not obviously defending Nazis here, but you're excavating a tomb.
Yeah.
That's weird.
I mean, people brought relics up from the Titanic, and I'd say that's a little bit, even a greater disaster of 1,500 people dying there. But I think in the interest of history, there would be some value in that just for the sake of knowing exactly what this U-boat was doing, why it was there, who was on board, what, you know, are there any logs, is there anything there that we could learn what the story of that specific boat was at that time?
Yeah, was there anything down there of interest? Because there's always been stories of submarines that have carried secret hoards of Nazi gold or other weird relics, maybe even prototype weapons, stuff like that. You always hear about this type of thing happening, so...
Yeah, it's the kind of thing I could only see happening if some private interest...
So James Cameron.
Yeah, exactly. Some private interest invests the money, but you have to make sure, just based on exactly what this is, that that private interest has the right interests in mind. That they aren't doing it, oh, they want to find Nazi gold and hoard it, or they want to bring up Nazi relics for public display for their own wrong reasons.
You ever hear of that one conspiracy, how there's like a room that the Nazis found and it was literally made out of pure gold? It was like Russian or something, and it's been moved around Europe and hidden places and stuff like that. Have you like ever heard of that?
I don't think I've heard of a gold room.
Yeah, there's like a room made out of gold or something. I mean, if somebody knows specifically what I'm talking about, feedback at thisweekingeek.net. I love a good conspiracy theory, and I will talk about it endlessly.
There are so many conspiracy theories revolving around Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler was big into the occult because he used it to inspire his forces, and because of that interest in the occult, there's just so many little stories.
Well, supposedly even Hitler had found the Lance of Longinus, the Spear of Destiny, which pierced the side of Christ, or he'd literally found the Ark of the Covenant or stuff like
that. Yeah, I mean, Indiana Jones is largely based off of the exploits of Adolf Hitler and his interest in the occult and those artifacts that should not be seen by mortal men, etc., etc.
Man, now I want to do something with the Spear of Destiny. I've got ideas. Just saying. Terrible Warriors. Watch out. Anyway, what do you got in weird news this week?
Well, from the pod that may have held Adolf Hitler to the pod that I wish held Adolf Hitler, suicide machines may actually be a real thing. If you've ever watched Futurama, you know about the suicide booths. Well, now there is a suicide machine that is in its beta stages, I suppose, and available for the public to try, says the headline.
If you want to die, go ahead.
By try, they don't mean just hop on in and kill yourself, but they mean you get to experience what it's like to be in this pod, and then a VR experience will give you a glimpse into how the death machine operates. It's a 3D printed capsule that you are able to 3D print freely available at on the internet by next year. It can be assembled anywhere to, quote, allow a person a peaceful passing at a location of their choosing. So if you want to use this for real, you will have to fill out an online test to gauge your mental fitness. If you pass, you'll receive an access code that is valid for 24 hours. Once the code is entered, you will be given another confirmation from the user, and you must give that confirmation in order to use it for the first and last time. It is cutely nicknamed the Sarco, which is short for sarcophagus.
Wow.
And it works by sitting on a generator that uses liquid nitrogen, which is released into the pod that brings down the oxygen level in the capsule to induce hypoxia. So this will cause potentially confusion, increased heart rate, rapid breathing, shortness of breath, sweating, wheezing in an uncontrolled environment. But apparently in this suicide machine, the death will have style and elegance. Within 1 minute, you will be dead. You will lose consciousness very shortly and then die. So it skips a lot of the bad parts of hypoxia, apparently, and just induce a peaceful well-being and intoxicated state before passing on into the afterlife.
Oh.
So, that's a thing.
If it doesn't have the knife that twists at the end, then I'm out.
You are now dead. Thank you for using suicide booths.
That's a weird thing, but then again, I guess with the population being the way that it is, and there's always the assisted suicide death talk, and no matter what country you are in the world right now, I guess being able to choose how you die is a very important thing, and that's a very important liberty to have, choosing how you die.
Yeah, I think it's dangerous with it being just an online confirmation. You can 3D print this at home for all those people that have 3D printers at home but aren't happy. You can make it at home, you fill out an online survey or application, and then that judges your mental fitness and you go from there. I have to wonder what kind of security there is behind that. Are you going to be able to cheat the system somehow?
Well, then again, I guess if you really want to kill yourself, who's going to stop you?
Yeah, if you're that dedicated to it, I mean, you're going out of your way to make this thing.
And then you have to order liquid nitrogen.
Yeah, I don't think you can print that yet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, how does one get a hold of liquid nitrogen on a short notice? Why do you need this? Oh, I'm going to kill myself.
I just need to refrigerate some stuff, you know.
And if that's the case, just stick your head in the liquid nitrogen, then you can die like a Jason X. But yeah, that's weird. I mean, ultimately really strange. But then again, liquid nitrogen, from what I understand, is also used in the cryopreservation field, where literally they cut off your head, freeze your head in liquid nitrogen until such a time you can be brought back.
Yeah, I've heard many stories of people being frozen, cryo-frozen, and they're in cryo-sleep. Now the problem is we have the technology to freeze you, we do not have the technology to thaw you and bring you back.
Yeah, it's because
there's a lot of complications with the freezing of flesh. Crystallized cells don't really survive.
Yeah, they don't revive well, because they explode, I think, is the big issue.
Yeah, the cell walls rupture because crystals are formed in the water that's in every cell, and it's just not a good deal.
See, I've always been curious here on Twig for the last 11 years to reach out to one of these cryopreservation facilities and say, hey, would you do an interview? I'm really curious. Maybe I should, just because I'm really curious.
I'd like to ask some questions and get some information about the cryo process and what's involved, what's the theory here, because we don't have a technology on the other end yet, so why is there a demand for this, and what's involved, what kind of costs are there in keeping these bodies preserved, what happens in the event of power loss, what kind of backups do they have, how long do they last? There's so many questions.
Think about this, because I know, or at least I think, I'm about 70% sure of this, I think one of the cryopreservation facilities is on the East Coast. What happened when there was that big power outage in 2003 or when Hurricane Sandy hit?
Yeah, there's a lot of potential disasters that could occur that disrupt power, and how much do they have to back that up? What do they have to stop that from thawing?
I mean, you're not going down the 7-Eleven grabbing a pack of friggin' ice cubes and hoping that'll keep the head alive. It's just not that. And can you imagine working in a place like that? Oh, where do you work? Oh, I work with the frozen heads.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by frozen corpses and body parts.
Yeah, just every day walking in, you just see the head of Mr. Jones. Just that. That's weird. But that's hey, why Mr. we're coming Jones. In on weird news. The stuff that we want you to go to bed terrified about. Speaking of terrified, we're going to throw things over to us here at Twig, and we're going to enter the grocery aisle of the damned with Satan's Pantry. What are we trying this week? It came from the sea, is all I can really say.
And after we eat it, we might want to cryo-freeze ourselves.
I don't want to be revived.
Welcome to hell.
You wouldn't even serve it to a pig! It's inedible!
Welcome back to Satan's Pantry, where we pry open the door of the international aisle in your local grocery store and try and find things that are interesting, good, weird, gross, but occasionally surprising here on this show. And in this edition of Satan's Pantry, we once again go to our trusty friend Alex, who goes to pretty much the weirdest places he can to find his stuff for this show. And what do you got for us this week, Alex?
I have cuttlefish snack.
Oh.
That's my best South Park impression. So it looks like Chex Mix, but made out of cuttlefish.
What is a cuttlefish?
Poison.
Okay.
Where is it? It's from Korea. Interesting. No dog. Let's see here.
Maybe that's what a cuttlefish is.
No, it's good until May. Enriched wheat flour, rice bran oil, cornstarch, minced cuttlefish. Oh, God. That's one of the top ingredients is actual minced. They took it and they minced it. It's going to be, oh, it's going to stink so bad.
Lightly fried and all fluffy.
Contains wheat, cuttlefish, anchovy. Oh, no.
See, I like anchovies.
Yeah, but you're a sick fuck.
This is known.
Anchovies belong on pizza. That's all
I don't. Oh, this one. I don't know if I want to open it. No, I'll do it.
Yeah, that might make the entire apartment smell.
If it does, it's going outside.
Oh, I'm gonna do the tear thing.
The studio is overwhelmed by the stench of fish.
Oh my!
Don't inhale it.
Don't hoof it.
I'm super excited.
Oh my goodness.
Waft.
Take a big whiff. Take a whiff.
I know what that smells like.
These are going to be...
Oh, my God.
Cuttlefish.
Yeah. Been out of the bar real late at night. Picking up scraps that are there.
It's 2 a.m. Right. It's almost time to go home. You'll do.
It smells like a bait shop.
It's shaped like a Voth starship.
I don't know if I want to do this.
It looks like...
Oh, my.
I've been through stomach surgery before. I don't want to have to go back again.
I can fly this thing.
Why is this a snack?
It's a spaceship.
Just do it.
It does look like Chex Mix, but like fish-shaped-ish, sort of.
Is it gross?
get it down.
I'm going for the water assist.
It's strange. It doesn't taste like much, but it's very strange.
It doesn't taste bad at all.
All right, I'm going to put mine in.
Shit.
Almost lost it.
I got
it's
it.
Another thing I'm giving Lee.
Just grab that in your
God.
Right. I like shrimp chips, so
I feel
that
like I have to apologize to your girlfriend.
All right.
Because I can only imagine you just in bed sleeping and a big burp comes up in the middle of the night and you destroy the room.
Where were you today?
It just melts the paint down.
Oh,
there
is 100% a fish aftertaste, though.
All right, going down with mine.
I kind of want Michael to eat a handful.
I don't taste anything.
No, it comes after.
Uh-oh.
All right, yeah,
some fish.
Give me a few more.
I can't.
Honestly, I'm trying it. I didn't get anything off that.
You taste it on the side of your tongue when you're done.
I've eaten raw cuttlefish.
Suck on it a little before you...
Okay, so I now have...
Suck on that fish for a while.
I have seven.
But they're lighter, but
yeah,
they have the texture of Chex Mix. Kinda.
I need a bit more.
Okay, so I'm
more analysis required here.
Shoving a bunch of them in my face.
Oh, I had a burp come up, and that.
It's bad that I like them.
I kind of like them actually, and you know what I'll say? The texture, I like the texture.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of those cases where I can honestly say eating pussy tastes better.
Oh, hey, did anyone know that David Ogden Stier's dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
Way to date this episode.
Question is, did anybody care?
Okay, the texture's really good, and honestly, the only problem I have with them is the smell. They smell pretty awful, but they taste fine.
I'm sorry. Yeah. The aftertaste.
I don't know.
I wouldn't call them terrible.
I would call them not good, though.
Kelly's keeping them.
Yeah, so my friend Kelly, who's not on the show right now, currently enjoys them. You know what? They're like I said, they're not terrible. Honestly, I'm not getting the fish
They
taste.
Smell strong when you open that bag, though.
Oh, yeah.
The smell was really strong.
I was going to sit over there.
Yeah, so overall, I don't know. How would we...
What is your bathroom going to smell like after we process all this stuff? All this cuttlefish?
I'm going to say it's not for everybody, but if you like the flavor of fish at all, this is probably pretty good for you. The texture's good. It's nice and airy. It's fluffy.
Where did you find them?
Walmart
of all places.
Walmart in the international food aisle next to all the weird crap they got there.
Though I will say, if you're going to eat these, you might want to have gum or a mint or brush
glass
your teeth
of water.
after you're done so that your
breath
is not
there is an aftertaste
people.
On your tongue afterwards.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a weird texture on my tongue right now, but overall, you know what? If someone offered me a handful of these, I wouldn't say no. Which is weird. I'm really surprised we haven't hit the super gross stuff yet, but we're not.
I like them.
We're not going to do like the weird canned fish thing.
Here's the thing. We're not canned. Oh, no. We are We are. Never. If I find that, it's like $25 a can. If I get Shastrumming, we are doing that shit. We're going to have to do it outside, though.
Yeah, because it'll
so
make
so we can vomit it on the grass?
Because, yeah. But we are going to do that because I have seen too many people puke and I'm not involved with it yet, and I want to do that.
On that note, I don't want to vomit. I've been one of the many unfortunate victims here in Satan's pantry, and eventually the pukening will happen.
It will happen.
As we descend into the deepest circles.
I have a feeling I do have to pick up that haggis to make...
Should I eat a cuttlefish and asparagus or the vanilla pesto?
Alrighty, so today I've got Darwin Project, brought to you by the developer Scavenger Studio, released on Windows, Windows 10 and the Xbox One. Now, what is the Darwin Project? It takes place in a post-apocalyptic landscape in the northern Canadian Rockies. As civilization prepares for an impending ice age, a twisted new project emerges, half science experiment, half live entertainment, called the Darwin Project, and it challenges participants to survive in the cold and fight to the death in a treacherous snow-covered arena. Darwin Project offers a competitive multiplayer third-person experience with an emphasis on survival. Players must withstand extreme environmental conditions, track opponents, craft duels, traps, and even negotiate temporary alliances to be the last one standing at sunrise. Now, it's in that vein of the new arena shooters that have come out, but with a bit of the survival aspect. So you start the game out, you'll get into an arena, and then when your game starts, you'll go and you have to scavenge for things. So that means chopping down trees with giant shovel axes, which is literally like a snow shovel that is an axe, and collecting all the items that you're collecting wood, collecting all these furs and things, and then you craft yourself equipment, because as you play, you'll eventually freeze if you don't stay warm. So staying warm is a very vital part of it. So it has that survival part. Then you'll also fight for, I guess, supremacy. And at the same time, there's an aspect of it that has the director, which is sort of an all-seeing eye that can choose to punish people, can reward people, can change the outcome of the game dramatically. It's sort of like an observer. Now, this game is going to lend a lot if you are a Twitch gamer, if you're doing streaming, live streaming, especially since there's an option to play as the observer, so you can have people vote on what you want them to do or how you want things to change. It's going to be very, very interesting to see how this picks up and plays. And I found that the graphics were quite good. It was loading just fine on my Xbox. I didn't have any lag or any login issues. I found the controls were pretty tight, and I found it to be a very, very fun game. It's going to fit right into that whole arena shooter, third person, scavenging. It's got a bit of everything. It's going to fit right in with the big online community now on Twitch and on any streaming service. So I would say, you know, check it out. It's been in early access since March 9th, and keep watch on it. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Welcome back to Twig, the flagship of stupidity. Once again, big thanks to Alex for reviewing those games this past week. That was the Darwin Project, available on PC and Xbox One. And of course, we return here to the Twig Studios, otherwise known as the Birdcage in Southern Ontario. This past week, we've talked about The Division's movie being helmed by the Deadpool 2 director. We have talked about Call of Duty Battle Royale, Ash vs. Evil Dead, may it rest in peace against the Deadites. And of course, Suicide Pods, whatever, Nazi Submarines, and Cuttlefish. Do you want the vanilla paste or the cuttlefish? We tried the cuttlefish. Anyway, so what do we got coming up on the show this week? Well, I'm pretty sure Mike Blanchard, will be talking about the Superstar Shakeups on Mayhem Mics. Also, we will be recording more Cambridge Chronicles here on Terrible Warriors, where we have exited the desert of Antioch. And what's going to happen next? Well, you'll just have to stay tuned to find out, I guess. And all sorts of other things. Tristan, what do you got coming up on your YouTube channel this upcoming week?
Well, I'm trying to branch out a little bit. I started off with Sea of Thieves and pretty much exclusively Sea of Thieves content, which is still the bulk of everything I'm doing right now. The game's continuing to grow. The first major content patch comes out next month in May. So from there, it's going to be weekly updates. So the game's going to have a new event every single week. So I'm going to have more things to talk about every single week. Ooh. About what's coming to Sea of Thieves. In addition to that, I'm in the World of Warcraft Alpha, so I wanted to start diving into that, seeing what's new, what's interesting, and maybe give some opinions and some news on that front. And I also want to try out Fortnite Battle Royale for myself. It seems to be all the rage, so I'm going to give that a try. I'm probably going to suck, but I'm going to put it on YouTube for your enjoyment to watch me suck at a game.
Good times. Speaking of myself, coming up on the show next week, I will have a review of Paddington 2, which is a movie about a bear who loves marmalade. And back, actually, last week, it was kind of funny. We had our friend Kelly over, and I'm trying to convince Blair to watch Paddington 2 with me. And the entire argument consisted of us yelling fictional bear across the apartment. It was like, I don't want to watch that movie. Fictional bear! And yeah, it was ridiculous. Also, I will be reviewing the new God of War on the PlayStation 4, and I'll also be reviewing my first PC game in years. I will be reviewing Battletech from Harebrained Schemes. I'm really excited to play that because I've been playing the skirmish mode all this week. I haven't played a lot of the campaign, but I've played a number of skirmishes to try and get good scrub. So really looking forward to that. So that'll be on the show next week. I think Alex should have a turd or treasure up in the next week or so. So be looking forward to that. So until next time, friendos, for Twig, we have been
Mr. Christopher.
And I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live free or die hard. I'll catch you guys again next week, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Well, kids, that's enough for one night, eh?
You know, I don't think this show is suitable for children.
I don't think this show is suitable for anybody.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear something like this.
Insert a clip here, you dick.
Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. If you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
We now join America's most popular show already in progress. Everybody loves Hypnotoad.